Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Please allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you and praise you. Lord, we glorify you and magnify you. Lord, I'm asking now, God, that you would just give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, my friends, did you bring your Bibles? If you brought your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 5. And we're going to do our best to expound verses 1 through 5. And let me get our screen ready. Here we go. I've entitled this evening's message, Our Crown of Glory That Won't Fade Away. Let me repeat that. Our Crown of Glory That Won't Fade Away. Saints, before we get into this message, I'm hoping that you will be encouraged that all that you do for Christ, that's what's going to last and go into eternity. When you serve, when you preach, when you teach, when you're kind, when you go pray, when you lay hands on the sick by faith and watch them recover. These are the things that God expects us as believers to do. To feed the poor and to visit those that are in prison and things in that nature. Give someone a glass of water. Help someone that's in need. Be kind. Be fruitful in your walk of life now. That's what we're called to do. And so I hope that you'll get some, I like to call it meat and potato. Get some good meat out of the Word of God this evening. That you would apply it. And that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. So, are we there? 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 6. And here we go. And it reads, The elders who are among you, I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly. Praise God. Verse 3 through 5. Nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Praise God. That's where I got the topic. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Did you catch that one at the very end, saints of God? Praise God, praise God. So let's go now to verse 1 and let's break this down. Praise God. And it reads, The elders who are among you, I exhort, I who am an elder, a fellow elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also what? A partaker of the glory that will be revealed. Praise God, praise God. You see, saints, this continues the thought mentioned back in chapter 4. You see, since God's judgment will begin first among God's own children, and we understood that from last week's message, then the elders of those congregations carry great responsibility. Oh, that's right. Elders were the appointed leaders in the churches and were to lead the churches by teaching sound doctrine, helping believers mature spiritually, and equipping believers to live for Jesus despite of opposition. And there was many opposition. Oh, that's right. Let's look at some verses that I found that'll help us understand this verse of scripture that we're reading in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1. And it reads in Acts 14, 23. Look at this. So when they had appointed elders in every church and prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord in whom they had believed. You see, saints of God, God raised up elders, pastors, teachers, prophets, evangelists, apostles. They all have a purpose in the fivefold ministry. For me, I'm a pastor teacher. I pastor the flock of God. But we're going to see in Scripture that I'm a sub-shepherd. Jesus is the chief shepherd. Oh, that's right. That's right. Let's look at another verse of Scripture that I found. Look at this. At Acts 20:17. From Miletus, he sent Ephesus and called for the elders of the church. Why did he call the elders of the church? So that they could reason with one another and appoint one another and lead the flock of God. Look at this I found in 1 Timothy 5:17. Let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. Saints of God, always pray for your pastors. Pray for me and some of you that are logged in that attend another church. Pray for your pastors. Why? Because even pastors tend to grow weary in well-doing. But we are to rejoice. Pray that God strengthens us, refreshes us, renews us in the spirit. Can I get amen? Oh, that's right. Because throughout the whole week, pastors are studying their word to feed the flock of God. It's not my flock. It's not your flock. It's God's flock. Can I get amen? Let's look at this next scripture I found in Timothy 5:19. Look at this. Do not receive an accusation against an elder except from two or three witnesses. That's key right there, saints. Watch out for busybodies in the church. If someone comes to you with a nod about someone, guess what? Take that person with you and go to the pastor. Go to the elder and hash it out. You know why? It's so easy to entertain gossip without the other person there. Be careful. This is why. It says, do not receive an accusation against an elder. What? Except, look at that. Let's read it again. Do not receive an accusation against an elder except from two or three witnesses. Let others that have seen that error point it out with you. Then go and see the elder or the pastor. Can I get amen? Look what else I found here. In Titus 1, 5 through 6. Look at this. For this reason, I left you in Crete, that you should what? Set in order the things that are lacking, and appoint elders in every city as I commanded you. If a man is blameless, the children of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of dissipation or insubordination. Praise God. Praise God. So, my friends, elders carried great responsibility, and they were expected to be good, and very good examples. You see, Peter appealed as a fellow elder, and thereby, saints of God, identifying with the other church leaders. Although he had authority as one of the apostles, Peter had been a witness to the sufferings of Christ. Praise God, praise God. And Peter actually, he did not witness Jesus' crucifixion. Why? Because you got to remember, he had denied Jesus. He denied Jesus. And the word witness in this verse does not mean eyewitness. Neither he nor all these elders had been eyewitnesses. However, they all had been called to witness. There's a difference. To testify, bring good news about Christ's sufferings to those under charge. Praise God, praise God. Now, as witnesses, they could also share in the sufferings. Same type of sufferings. Personally witnessing those sufferings in their own lives. Saints of God, since I've become a Christian, there are many things that I had to suffer through. And maybe you too. But that's part of the process. That's part of growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, sometimes the rubber's going to meet the road. But here's the problem with some folks. Instead of learning the Word of God, applying the Word of God, walking in faith, people walk in fear. And people have anxiety. And they want to just chuck it all. But God is saying, stay in the fight. Stay in the fire. Keep pressing toward the prize and the call in Christ Jesus. Can I get an amen in the house? Praise God. Praise God. And so Peter indicated that they share and even more. For Peter, along with all the other elders, as well as all believers, will share Christ's glory and honor when he returns. Praise God. Peter and the believers shared in Christ's glory at present, and they would also share that glory when it would be revealed at the last day, meaning the second coming. Praise God. Praise God. So now, let's move on to verse 2 and 3 of 1 Peter chapter 5. And it reads, "Shepherd the flock of God, which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock." I want you to catch that. Did you see that? Where it says, I'm going to go back to it right here. Not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly. You see, pastors, elders, those who lead their flock until Jesus comes, we're not to lord over them. And we're not to be there for dishonest gain. Oh, I've seen some shenanigans. I'm not going to mention the pastor. I'm not going to mention the church. But I visited some where they will say, I want people to line up right here to my right that have $100 bills and then $50 bills and then $20 bills. I mean, it's all shenanigans. I went to this one church and the pastor said, if you have checkbooks, it's 2017. I need you to write a check for $2,017. That's shenanigans. That's not the word of God. Bible says, give unto the Lord with a cheerful heart. As believers, we know the word. We pay our tenth, our tithes, and our offerings, and that's it. That's it. If you want to give above that, praise God. But it should not be for an elder or a pastor for what? Look at that. For dishonest gain. So that they can pocket everything and walk around in or drive around in one of those Humvees or, you know, one of those very expensive vehicles and live on Sugar Hill. Something's wrong. Something would be out of order. Can I get an amen? So we got to watch and be careful as elders, as leaders, as pastors, to be careful with the flock of God, because they're tender souls and all God's people are coming together as one to grow in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen? You see, saints, Peter's command that the elders care for the flock of God echoed Jesus' words to Peter himself. Look what I found in John right up here. Look at this. John 21, 15 through 17. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to him, feed my lambs. He said to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. Wow, look at this, verse 17. And he said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Now Peter was grieved. Look at this. Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, what did he say? Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. And that's what us pastors, elders are called. It's to feed you, those of you that are viewing right now with this live stream, those who come Sunday morning. This is our assignment, is to feed God's people the word of God, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge, that you would understand and be illuminated. When the rhema word is attached to the living word, it becomes powerful. It becomes illumination. You see things now through the heart of Christ. Praise God. You see, saints, the same Greek word is used in both places, meaning to shepherd, to tend, or to take care of, or even to pastor. The flock is the believers. Elders had had authority over the individual churches and thus a certain part of God's flock. Elders were to be like shepherds who lead, guide, and protect the sheep under their care. Can I get an amen in the house? Believers would need good leaders as they face persecution. And this passage describes three possible problems that elders might face and how they, what, should respond. And one of them would be this. Wrong motivation. Wrong motivation. Saints, there's a pastor should never have his own motive or a wrong motivation. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, no. Watch over it willingly, not grudgingly, is our assignment. To watch over the flock of God. Elders should serve out of love for God first. And then Peter called them to make God's will their own. Eagerly seeking to please the Lord Jesus Christ. How many believe that? Pastors and elders should serve willingly in churches today, saints. Too often, a slate of elders becomes hard to fill. Why? Because of unwillingness by people in the congregation to serve them. And so, my friends, there's another aspect right here. Wrong goals. There are wrong goals. Oh, that's right. You see, not for what you will get out of it, but because you are eager to serve God. That should be the priority. And many of the church's elders were paid for their services. Oh, that's right. However, that it's called remuneration alone probably will not make an elder rich. And am I in this to get rich? No. I'm in it so that when you guys give unto the Lord, we keep the building open. We keep the lights going. We keep the water running. We have a place to congregate. That's what it's all about. It's not that for Yolanda and I to live on Sugar Hill. I had my home before I became a pastor. I thank God for that. I already had my vehicle before I became a pastor. I had all these things in place already. But when I got called, I called to serve the Lord. I called to serve the people of God. And for going on at least 17 years in ministry, that's what we've been doing. And I hope that when it's all said and done, that the Lord Jesus would say to me and to my wife, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord." That's what your goal should be. Whatever capacity, whatever assignment God has called you to be in His ministry, do it with a loving heart, with a whole heart. Don't do it half-heartedly, but do it all the way. Go all the way with God. You see, my friends, Peter spoke about this temptation to be greedy. Probably arose because the church's finances, the money collected for the poor, etc., usually were entrusted to the elder or to the overseer. And the opportunity to abuse the trust was very real. Thus, both Peter and Paul explained that elders were to be paid adequately and were to be trustworthy with money. Praise God. Praise God. Look what I found in 1 Timothy here to help us understand this. Likewise, deacons, be reverent, not double-tongued, not giving too much wine, not what? Greedy for money. We cannot be greedy for money in this. Can I get an amen? Look at this. 1 Timothy 5:17, let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. Praise God. Praise God. There's a blessing for those who teach and preach and pastor. Look what it says here in Titus 1:7. For a bishop must be blameless as a steward of God, not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not given to wine, not violent, not what? Greedy. Greedy for money. Praise God. Praise God. Look what else I found in verse 10 and 11 of Titus. For there are many insubordinate, both idle talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole households, teaching things that they ought not for the sake of dishonest gain. And there's a lot. Let me just pause here for a moment. There's still a whole lot of prosperity gospels teaching people just you're not praying hard enough. Go in your garage, lay hands on your Volkswagen Bug, and go back the next day, open the door, and there will be a caddy. But in the meantime, give all that you got and watch God do that all. That's the kind of shenanigans that they play. Bible says, don't tempt God. Be content to what God has given you right now. If the caddy comes, it'll be because you worked hard for it and you saved your money. And now go get it. But to tempt God, keep giving. And for a material thing that will just perish when the fire comes, my friends, we live in a culture, I truly believe it's very greedy. And so, saints, instead of money, elders were to focus on serving. And the word for eager is very strong in the Greek, expecting great zeal and enthusiasm. And today, pastors receive pay for serving, but pastors can fall prey to the greedy desire for money as well. That having money can lead to as much preoccupation with funds as having a lot of money. Did you catch that, saints of God? Oh, that's right. And so, here's another point. I call it wrong methods. Wrong methods for elders. Don't lord it over the people assigned to your care. Meaning, don't lord your authority over them. Don't manipulate them. Don't deceive them. Don't be a taskmaster. Be gentle. Be kind. Pray with them. Love them. Help them. Serve them. Yolanda and I are called to serve those at Amazing Grace and to serve one another. I'm hoping that our marriage could be an example for others to let them know that they can make it. If we can make it, you can make it. Oh, that's right. But it's about trusting God, about loving God, about praising God, about serving God, about loving one another unconditionally. You see, I would have never been blessed with one of God's beautiful children, his daughter, Sister Yolanda, if I didn't learn how to love him first. It's all about loving God with your whole heart, soul, and mind. You love him and you seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then he will add all these other things unto you. Can I get an amen? This is a teaching moment. This is why we log in on Wednesday nights, to be taught the word of God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Saints, we need to be perfect examples. Can I get an amen? Elders lead by example, not force. Lording it over means forcefully, domineering, or subduing. Elders also must fight the temptation to abuse their authority and hurt the church under their care. The formula Jesus used was always that those who led were to be the best servants. Can I get an amen? Look what Mark wrote. Look at this in Mark 10, 42 through 45. But Jesus called them to himself and said to them, you know that those who are considered rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant. Did you catch that, saints? Look at this in verse 44 and 45. And whoever of you desires to be first shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. Praise God. Praise God. You see, saints, the leaders were to be examples of humility and servanthood. Leaders must not bully or steamroll people. Can I get an amen? Praise God. I hope you're learning something tonight. It's all about the grace of God. So now, let's go now to verse 4 of 1 Peter chapter 5. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not what? Fade away. This is where I got tonight's topic. the crown of glory does not fade away. You see, saints, elders were to be shepherds of God's flock, but they were answerable to the head shepherd, also called the good shepherd or the chief shepherd. I'm a sub-shepherd. And many pastors throughout the world are sub-shepherds, but Jesus is the chief shepherd. That's who we have to answer to. Oh, that's right. We're not on an island all by ourselves. The Holy Spirit's with us. Praise God. Thank you, God. And God speaks to His pastors that are born again. Praise God. Praise God. Look what I found here in John. In John 10:11. I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd gave His life for who? The sheep. That's Jesus. He gave His life for us. Look at this. I found in John 10:14. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I am known by my own. Praise God. Praise God. Look what it says in Hebrews. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work. To do what? To do His will. Working in you what is well-pleasing in His sight. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. You see, saints, the word comes refers to Christ's second coming, when He will return to judge all the people. And at that time, the elders, along with all believers, will receive a reward, a never-ending share in Christ's glory and honor. Praise God. How many are so blessed to know that? You see, my friends, this is a proper motivation for service in the face of suffering and temptation. Oh, that's right. All believers, say this with me at home, all believers will be declared winners and will receive a wonderful, everlasting reward. And this could be their source of strength and encouragement in times of trial. I hope it is. Praise God. Praise God. So, my friends, we're going to look at our last verse of Scripture to break down, found in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. Actually, we got two more, 5 and 6. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourself to your elders. Yes, all. Say that with me at home. Yes, all of you. Be submissive to one another. And be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Did you catch that? Don't be walking around all prideful. That's right. Walk with humility. Oh, praise God. You see, saints of God, as Peter had presented the best plan for household relationship, so here he described the best plan for the church relationships. That's right. The younger men should expect the authority of the elders, meaning to submit and to make good decisions and to treat them with respect, unless, of course, they themselves lead people into sin. Oh, that's right. And finally, all the believers had a responsibility in the congregation. They should serve each other in humility. Praise God. Humility means being able to put others, people's needs and desires ahead of one's own. Oh, that's right. We should be able to lift someone up before we get lifted up. Can I get an amen? Praise God. Look what I found here in Philippians. Philippians 2, 3 through 4. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Praise God. Isn't that a blessing, saints? You see, saints, young people should follow the leadership of the older people, especially those who have been put in authority over them as elders. The elders, in turn, should lead by example. All should actively serve one another. Can I get an amen? And no doubt, my friends, Peter remembered how Christ served His disciples with humility as He washed their feet. Look what I found in John chapter 13. Look at this. In John 13, look at this. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. I need you to catch this. He loved them to the end. Look at this. And supper being ended, the devil having already put into their heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going to God. Look at this in verse 4. Rose from the supper and laid aside his garments, took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel and with he was girded. Praise God. He had a foot washing service with them. Look at this. Then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, Lord, are you washing my feet? Jesus answered and said to him, what am I doing? You do not understand now, but you will know after this. Jesus is trying to break this down before them. And then Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered him and said, if I do not wash you, you have no part with me. What? Oh, wow. It gets better. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head then. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. He had a paradigm change. Look at verse 10. And Jesus said to him, he who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you. Uh-oh, what was Jesus saying this? For he knew, here he goes, for he knew who would betray him. Therefore he said, you are not all clean. Who was he talking about? Judas Iscariot. He was an evil, unclean vessel. Look at this in verse 12. So when he had washed their feet, taken his garments and sat down again, he said to them, do you know what I have done to you? And then he answers it in verse 13. You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. Look at this in verse 14. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Praise God. And our last two verses right here, 16 and 17. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. Praise God. Praise. Isn't that a blessing? Saints, Peter also quoted from Proverbs 3:34 to make this point. Look at this. Surely he scorns the scornful, but gives grace to the humble. Praise God. Praise God. You see, my friends, the believers must deal with one another in humility because it's written in the Word of God. Look at James 4 and 6. It says, but he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Praise God. You see, saints, not only does pride keep people from listening to or to following God, it can also keep older people from trying to understand young people and young people from listening to those who are older. Praise God. Praise God. My friends, I'm here to let you know. Jesus is soon to return. How many believe that you believe that he's coming soon? Oh, yes, he is. Jesus is coming soon. And my friends, we need to be about our Father's business. Listen, the times that we live in are radical. The culture that we live in is upside down. Never in the history have we seen anything like this. We have not seen anything like this. And my friends, I I truly believe that if we still continue to walk in humility, walk in righteousness, walk with a pure heart, walk with pure hands, God will bless us on this earth, even through hard and trying times like we're seeing it. I saw an interview with Tucker Carlson with Elon Musk, and they talked about the banks, and many banks are failing right now. But the one startling thing that Elon Musk said, because no one's ever seen this before, except in 1929, when the real estate market, the inflation, and the commercial market all start to skyrocket, and none of them are giving way to another. The last time that happened, our nation went into a depression. And that was in 1929. The wealthy were in bread lines with the poor. Saints of God, it would be a day of dreariness and a day unimaginable if something of that magnitude happened again. People that lived in Rancho Santa Fe that drove around in Rolls Royces and many luxurious things find themselves in the same bread line with the middle and the lower class people for a bowl of soup and bread. Could that happen to us? It could. But you and I, who are children of the Most High God, we have a God that can take care of us. This is why you need to draw close. You need to embrace the Lord Jesus Christ. And maybe some of you are watching right now and you've never given your heart to the Lord. Listen, if those hard times come, and if they come very quickly, no one will be prepared for it. It'll just happen in one day. And where will you be? As for the church, I believe the way God fed Elijah with ravens that would bring food to him, God will supernaturally find food for you and I as his children, as a believer. But one of the things that you and I can do is to pray and fast, come together as one in the body of Christ. You see, what's lacking in our nation is pulpits that have stopped preaching the truth. And we need to get back to our roots. We need to get back to the Word. We need to continue to live in a life of humility and to win souls to God. Maybe, just maybe, you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family that's watching right now to pray with me, to pray for you. And watch God do the miraculous in your life. And all you have to do is repent. Turn. Turn from the culture. Turn from your wicked ways. Acknowledge that you have sinned before a holy God, and now you want to walk away from that sinful lifestyle. No matter what it is, it's turning your back on sin and walking forward to Christ, asking Him for a full pardon of your sins by faith. If that's you, cry out right now. I truly believe the Amazing Grace family that's logged in will pray with me to pray for you. Bow your heart and your head and watch God do the miraculous in your life. Pray this prayer by faith. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise and glory. Someone just, they just got saved. Listen, down below is our banner. Our website is right there. Our link to our website. And on our website, you can reach out to us through email or even calling us. What we want to do is give you a Bible, put it in your hand. We want to lead you and guide you to a good, sound church that will teach and preach the unadulterated Word of God. And if you're living locally, we'd like to invite you out at 5305 Sweetwater Road in beautiful Bonita, California. Our Sunday morning services are at 10 a.m. We invite you to come and be a part of what God is doing in the midst of His people, that more and more are coming into the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. And so we want to thank each and every one of you that has logged in for this evening's teaching. I'm looking forward to next Wednesday as we continue in 1 Peter chapter 5. And so on behalf of Sister Yolanda and the Amazing Grace family, I leave you this benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His shalom, His peace, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. So, my friends, we thank you for logging in. We can't wait to see you this Sunday at 10 a.m. And don't forget, at 1 p.m. is our healing rooms. And so may the Lord bless you and keep you. We love you. God bless you. And we'll see you this Sunday morning. Bye-bye now.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you, and thank you for listening.